Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Cembra Full Year 2022 Results Conference Call and Live Webcast. I am Sandra, the Chorus Call operator. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Holger Laubenthal, CEO, Mr. Pascal Perritaz, CFO, and Mr. Volker Gloe, CRO of Cembra Money Bank. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Thank you, operator, good morning, everyone. It's great to be here. Yes, indeed, with CFO Pascal Perritaz and Chief Risk Officer Volker Gloe. Look forward to walking you briefly through the presentation and then take your questions as just alluded to. Look, as usual, in terms of agenda, I'll briefly walk through the highlights for the year. We'll then have Pascal take over for the financial results together with Volker on the loss performance. Then we go into an outlook afterwards and take your questions. Page three, the full year performance. Look, starting with this overview, I think it's in line with the update we've given you in the fall, in line with the Byjuno acquisition, and I think, you know, demonstrated strong performance in line with the committed targets that we've given you, and that we've provided during the strategy update and then as we went through the year. Net income is coming in at 169 million, up 5%. Continued revenue growth as well. We're pleased with that given the cards transition program, which we'll talk about a bit more later on. Net financing receivables up 5% as well. We're particularly excited that all businesses contributed to growth this past year. You know, stable cost income ratio, so we've absorbed the investments that we also talked about into transformation, as well as the Certo! Cards family program launch and the transition. Continued strong loss performance, which, you know, overall leading to quite robust and in line with guidance ROE figures. Of course, again, strong capital position. Against this performance, we're proposing a dividend increase to 3.95 per share. Next page, on the markets, again, you recognize this page. Look, again, you know, we've had growth across the board, which we're quite pleased with. Personal loans, 4% up, really focused on profitable growth. We talked to you about the price increases that we swiftly went to implement. Auto, like the business, right? Pretty much in line with the market. Again, here too, quite strong pricing action that we implemented, you know, once the SNB rates increased as well. Cards, solid market share, transaction volumes up 5%. Buy now, pay later, we're excited about this. You know, strong growth both organically as well as with the acquisition as we continue to build our strategy in this attractive segment. Overall, you know, strong execution and resilient performance across the board as we enter this post-pandemic world. On the next page, just let me give you some highlights for 2022 in the context of our strategy. In terms of our core, pleased with the continued delivery of our credit factory. You know, cost and risk discipline are key, and that's been going well last year as previously. In line with this discipline, we also tackled, as I mentioned, repricing actions quite actively since last summer. Our commitment to ESG remains strong, and we're pleased that it's being recognized. Operational excellence, you know, we launched the credit card app as we committed to. We started upgrading our underlying infrastructure. The MVP testing solution for the auto platform is out. Overall, this program is tracking well, with just under about a quarter of the investments made and initial benefits starting to come in. Business acceleration, as I mentioned, very pleased with the organic and profitable growth across the portfolio. The launch of the Certo! B2C cards proposition and transition has gone very well. As we speak today, we've migrated about half of the cards across from the previous Cumulus portfolio into the new Certo! Proposition. New growth, I mentioned, right? Both organic growth and the Byjuno acquisition. That's going great, and the integration, as well as we discussed with you in October, is tracking to plan. Last not least, I think strong progress on culture. Your leadership team's in place. We've strengthened capabilities across the value chain, and we're excited that we've been recognized, that we've renewed the certification of the Great Place to Work survey. Good testament also from our teams and associates. In summary, I think tracking well along the delivery of our strategy. Let me hand over to Pascal for the financial results.
Thank you, Holger, and good morning, everyone. We report today a strong financial performance for 2022, and we are pleased with both assets and revenue growth and net income results, with all businesses contributing to this profitable growth. Let me explain, first focus on the P&L, and then in a few minutes, more on the balance sheet. You heard already from Holger, net income increased by 5% to 169.3 million or 5.77 per share. As a result, the return on equity came in at 13.7% at the upper half of the guided ROE range for 2022. The total net revenues increased by 4% to 508.9 million in 2022, driven by commission and fees. The net interest income remained stable, with increase in the interest expense from the change in interest rate environment offset by higher interest income. The commission and fees income increased by 17%, mainly driven by higher income from credit card fee, post-COVID normalizations, and growth in the buy now, pay later business. For the buy now, pay later and over, fee income amounted to 19.5, a +58% increase, and this include 4.2 million revenues from the Byjuno acquisitions, which was completed on November 1st, 2022, and consolidated from that date. The share of net revenues generated from commission and fees increased to 30%. The loss performance remained very strong at 0.6. My colleague, Volker, Chief Risk Officer, will further comment soon, and the cost income ratio remains stable at 50.6, in line with our guidance. The next page reports the profitability by source. The return on financing receivables, or actually net margin, further improved and achieved 2.6% in 2022. The increase is driven by higher credit card commissions and BNPL fees, partially offset by 0.1 percentage point reductions in the net interest margin. On the next page, let's talk about the net interest margin, respectively, the net revenues movement, by breaking down the first and the second half of the year 2022. At H1 2022, as already reported in summer last year, the interest income reduced by 2 million, driven by lower yield due to the business mix impact and competition. This was partially offset by lower interest expense, mainly due to lower funding maturities. In addition, at H1, we benefited from increased commission and fees, mainly due to the post-COVID normalizations. For the second half of the year, the drop in interest income was reversed and increased by 5 million, driven largely by timely as a repricing measures on new business since mid of the year 2022. This increase in interest income was largely offset by the increase in interest expense. Said differently, the net interest margin remained flat, as you can see, between H1 and H2, and we offset the increase of average funding cost with additional income in interest income. For 2023, similar to the second half of the year, our plan is to offset further increased interest expense with additional income source, mainly from repricing measures. Slightly negative durations gap will contribute to defending the net interest margin. Credit cards commissions. Let's talk about all of this. We are pleased with the migrations of the transitions portfolio. Our credit card family, Certo!, was launched in July 2022 and is now the backbone for our business to consumer segment. At year-end, 38% of the overall card issue, as of overall card issues, I mean as all of the B2B partners, Certo! Portfolio, transitions portfolio. The 38% of the overall card issues came from our B2C segment, and we already migrated half of the transitions portfolio, as mentioned by Holger. We increased both our interest income and commission and fees for the full year, as well as the second half of the year, which means that the new propositions is well used and we are retaining the targeted customer segments as expected. On that basis, I'm pleased to confirm that the card guidance we gave as of for 2023 on, with at least card assets and card revenues in line with pre-COVID level, will be achieved. Let's talk now about the operating expense. So the operating expense increased by 5% with the cost-income ratio 50.6 stable as guided. The personal expense increased by 2% with number of full-time equivalents or FTE employees flat before the acquisitions of Byjuno. The increase was driven by salary inflations and increase in incentive compensations. We had 12 employees from Byjuno acquisitions already integrated at year end, and we will have around 30 FTEs based in the nearshore office in Riga to be integrated in these figures in the second quarter 2023 expected. The general and administrative expense increased by 7% to 122 million. And this is mainly due to the investment in strategic initiatives, operation excellence, and the launch of the Certo as a proposition. So let's talk about these two items. Operation excellence. We announced during our Investor Day in December 2021 that we'll launch this program to further drive efficiencies and scalability in our operating model and ultimately as a contribute materially to the improvements of our net margin over the strategic cycle. In order to deliver annual saving of 30 million by 2026, we are investing 55 million in operation excellence. In 2022, we spent 13 million or 24% of this multi-year investments program, OPEX and CAPEX combined, and generated first annual benefits of around 2 million. We launched the new credit card propositions, applications to strengthen the customer relationship and increase efficiencies. The company as a data center has been consolidated and moved, and the foundations for cloud infrastructure was established. The new IT platform for leasing business is being tested, and the first release will be launched in 2023. Regarding the card migrations, and cost, we invested around 9 million for the entire product cycle implementations, development, customer cards replacement, and marketing associated to product promotions. So you can see these extraordinary items and movements impacting the expect line, professional services, marketing, postage and statutory salary, and IT. For 2023, we expect a stable cost income ratio with continued investments in operation excellence in line with our strategic plan. I hand over now to Volker for an update on the loss development.
Yes, thank you, Pascal. We report a loss provision for the year 2022 of 40.9 million. Translated into loss rate, this stands for 0.6%, so about the same level as last year. As highlighted already in the release of the half-year earnings, there are some individual items that we could benefit from in 2022, although they actually link back to prior periods, such as a release of a COVID-related environmental reserve, or also a rather conservative view on the collectability of certain assets that we had during the pandemic and that we could recover on now in 2022. An exact quantification of that would be difficult, but I think a normalized number would probably rather be around 0.7 up to 0.8%, which we can still deem to be a very strong loss performance. Also, asset quality remained robust in 2022. The NPL ratio came in at 0.7%, 30-plus delinquencies at 2%. So on 30-plus delinquencies, we see a slight uptick compared to the prior year, and there are two drivers that I want to highlight. On the one hand, it can be attributed to the expected post-COVID normalization that we have been mentioning already in the H1 earnings release. It means that after opening up some of our credit policies in 21, we also re-entered segments within above average credit risk, and that starts maturing now in 22. Second argument that I would like to bring is the growth in the buy now, pay later business, including the consideration of the Byjuno acquisition in the numbers here. This leads to a slightly worsening 30-plus metric, as buy now, pay later has an above-average delinquency, and this is just by the nature of the BNPL business model. It's a model that generates its income rather from volumes than on customer receivables, meaning that transactional customers are paying back their outstandings very fast, so the book turns very fast. So one might argue to what extent actually receivable-based metrics like delinquencies or even loss rates are sensible for a buy now, pay later business. But for completeness reasons, it is included in the 30-plus delinquency metric here and leads to a slightly higher value at the end of 22. One other item that I would like to mention here is, and also that will be clear, it does not impact US GAAP numbers for 22. It's the implementation of CECL. As communicated before, the current expected credit loss or CECL model for the calculation of allowances under US GAAP became effective in the beginning of 23. The day one impact that affects the opening balance of 23 is calculated at 67 million, which is fully in line with the range that we have been communicating before. We said always between 50 and 70 million. So one more comment about the outlook on 2023. So when we look into the expectations for the current year and considering both what we saw in 2022, but also the macro predictions for the current year, we should see a continued solid risk performance where the loss rates continues to gradually normalize to the level of prior years and in line with previously communicated midterm targets. And with that, I hand it back to Pascal, who will guide us through the balance sheet.
Thank you, Volker. So balance sheet, the total net financing receivables at the end of the year amounted to 6.5 billion. Or 5% increase. Over assets increased by 46% or 157 million, and that include on one side as well 33 million as a goodwill related as well to the Byjuno acquisitions, day one impact, and 97 million as well investment securities available for sales and repo eligible in the context of our treasury management. Funding increased by 8% at end of 2022, largely in line with the growth in financing receivables and the liquid assets. And the shareholder equity increased by 6% after Cembra paid the dividend of 113 million in April 2022. Next page is on the financial receivables by businesses. So P-loan growth continued in the second half of the year and increased by 4% for the full year to 2.4 billion as a result of lower opening balance of net financing receivables compared to 2021 and the continued competitive environment. Interest income in the personal loans business decreased by 4% to 163 with a yield of 6.8%. The net financing receivables in auto lease and loan increased by 6% to 3 billion in the reporting period, and interest income edged up as well by 2% to 133, yield 4.6, stable. In the credit card business, the net financing receivables rose by 1% to 1 billion. Interest income in the cards business rose by 5% to 89.1, with yield at 8.5. Funding. Overall, as funding mixed, remain as a largely stable 57% deposit, 43% non-deposit. The average funding cost in 2022 amounted to 50 bps compared to 2021, 45, and the period end funding cost increased to 79 bps. The durations reduced, and with the expected interest rates hikes in 2022, our institutional investors tended to invest in shorter tenors, and the weighted average durations amount now to 2.1. 2.1 is slightly higher than the behavioral asset duration, so that we keep a slightly negative duration gap. LCR is at a healthy level, 336. What it says is that the volatility of the figure is lower, since the absolute figures in the high quality liquid assets, as well as in the short liabilities, are higher. NSFR is lower as the two world sales maturities 2023 drops below 1 year, and it expected as well to reverse in 2023, also in the context of the placement of our transactions. We had in January 235 million unsecured bond at a tenor of 6.5 years. Capital. We remain as very well capitalized, strong Tier 1 capital ratio of 17.8. In 2022, as announced already, we implemented the current expected credit loss for statutory reporting as well, which had a one-off impact on the Tier 1 ratio of 0.7 as a percentage point. And this is in line as with the indications we give of 0.6 to 0.9. The impact of Byjuno acquisitions on the Tier 1 capital ratio was 0.5, and we also benefit for temporary exceptions, regulatory exceptions for quantitative regulatory supervisions for the buy now pay laters. Obviously, as a, there is the revised FINMA Basel III standards, consolidations concluded, but the final versions not issued yet. But we expect also over time, starting in 2024, an impact of this new standard adverse between 0.5 to 1% of the Tier 1 ratio. The shareholder equity ultimately increased by 6% after the dividend as well payout from last year. And given as all this robust financial performance, the board of directors will propose a 3.95 per share dividend, or 68% payout ratio, at the next general meeting on 21st of April 2023, translating into a 3% or 10 cents increase compared to last year. With that, I hand over to you, Holger.
Excellent. Thanks, Pascal. So, look, as we move into the outlook section here, let me just briefly share our scorecard, how we've done in 22 on the key initiatives that we presented to you about a year ago. And you recognize perhaps the left side of this page in terms of these initiatives. And so I'd say, look, overall strong progress, right? I think the key initiatives in operational excellence we briefly talked about, I think well underway. Business acceleration. Look, the main point for us and for me, and you may recall this from about a year and a half ago, that it was important for me that we return this business to growth. We get the right energy on the commercial side, the right propositions for our customers, and we've been able to do that. And so we're quite pleased with that in terms of this growth. And obviously, a lot of these initiatives have contributed to that. That said, some areas here are also work in progress. Leasing platform, the test version is out, and we're looking at a rollout for this year. Co-brand partners, we did launch a new relationship with Spar. We're also quite happy. We extended a number of key relationships with Conforama and Fnac and others. But this is, of course, ongoing, as we've always said, and we want to do more in this space, continue to do more in this space going forward. On the cards transition, we talked about this. We're very pleased with the progress to date, and more to come as we come into 23. Buy now, pay later. Look, very excited about, I think we've laid a great foundation for delivering against our ambition here over the strategic cycle. And we also briefly spoke about culture, the new organization in place, and the Great Place to Work recertification. So on the right side, and again, these are aligned with delivering against the 2022 to 2026 strategy. On the right side, the initiatives for this year. Clearly, on the operational excellence side, ensuring readiness for cloud setup and the SaaS solutions on the core banking side. Importantly, we'll start decommissioning some legacy systems. It's obviously a key driver for efficiency going forward. Business acceleration, we want to drive more product diversification, personal loans, the leasing platform rollout we talked about, and really continue to push the transition on the card side and leverage Certo for new to bank customers as well. Buy now, pay later, concluding the operational integration so we can continue to focus on growing that business that we're quite excited about. So in conclusion, on the next page, in terms of the outlook, as we've proven over the last years, I think a resilient business model that continues to deliver. And so, you know, we expect the same going forward in spite of some of the market challenges that we've alluded to. Clearly for us, on a high level, right, we continue to be focused on executing on our strategy. That includes also, you know, pricing measures and cards transition, delivering on operational excellence and transformation, and then expanding our buy now, pay later and invoice payment presence in the country. In terms of performance, you can expect continued resilience going forward, net revenues at least growing in line with GDP. As always, discipline on cost and risk, and as such, we're reiterating our ROE expectations for the year. As for the targets through 2026, you can see them on the right, and there's no change here, so that's the same that, again, we presented in December 2021. So this concludes the formal part of the presentation, and we look forward to your questions now.